Welcome to Monday Morning. Evan Bray here. I hope you had a good weekend. Weather, fairly nice, especially in Regina. They hosted Vanier Cup, and it was beautiful. They had 7 or 8 degrees on Saturday, similar for yesterday. But the snow is coming. In fact, the southwest part of the province will be getting it first. If you look at the radar map through Environment Canada, Alberta is getting it. Calgary, Medicine Hat expecting fairly heavy snow today. It will make its way into Saskatchewan and kind of take a swipe through the southwest part of the province. Will eventually make its way to Regina and carry on to the eastern part of the province. But that's a big chunk of the province that right now is snow-free. You can expect there will be some today. So if you are heading out and about, especially a little bit later on today in the southern part of the province, you might want to keep an eye on the weather and check that highway hotline before you head out as well. Well, lots to talk about. The burning of the brand is happening as we speak. It is the kickoff to Agribition today. I mentioned agribition.com is the website you can go. I was on there looking at literally the full slate of activities that starts officially today, runs all week. I'll be broadcasting live the show on Thursday at Agribition at the Saskatchewan Cattle Association booth. So if you are down there on Thursday, love for you to pop by the booth and say hi in the morning. And by the way, speaking of that, thanks to everyone that I bumped into at the Vanier Cup on Saturday. I was down in Regina for the Vanier Cup and had great conversations with so many people. I love it when someone comes up and says, hey, are you Evan? Yeah. Well, geez, the other day when you were talking about this, I wanted to call in, but I was busy at work and I couldn't. But then we end up having the conversation. It's kind of like open lines extended whenever I get the opportunity to have those chats in public, and I love it. So thank you for everyone who stopped by for a visit that day. I mentioned this off just the start of the show today, but with both Saskatoon and Regina City Councils talking budgets over the next little while, it's a hot topic. And this is really something that happens every year. The cities throw out their forecast. They say, okay, look, based on all of the requests that we have so far, this is the forecasted tax increase, which causes you and I to throw our hands in the air and say, what? You're kidding me. And the city says, well, okay, if you don't want to pay that much, which, by the way, the number in Regina, just under 16%, the number in Saskatoon, just over 8%. So by comparison, Saskatoon's not looking as bad this year anyway. But then they will put out, okay, here's the suite of options that we have. What would you like to cut? What do you think should be cut? And on that list this year is the Regina Floral Conservatory, which many people, 23,000 people roughly a year, go to the conservatory. There's no cost to go in there. And I noticed the text on the text line, Greg from Regina, saying, you know what? I love the conservatory, but I'd be happy to pay a few bucks to go in there. So maybe they should start charging. It would help offsetting the cost. That's a possibility. Keep in mind, the place is run on volunteers. It's not like they've got this big paid staff there. So this is pretty minor in the grand scheme of the budget. This is not going to save the city a lot of money, but it's doing, and I said this earlier, it's doing exactly what happened the year they talked about cutting the lawn bowling. We show up at council chambers to do the Regina Police Service budget presentation, and the gallery is absolutely teeming full of people in matching tracksuits. It was every lawn bowler in the city of Regina and surrounding area were there to save the lawn bowling club in Regina. And guess what? Not only did they save it, that year we booked a team building for our executive at the Regina Police Service to go lawn bowling. So maybe, you know what, maybe this is going to be good news for the Floral Conservatory in Regina. They'll up their visitors by getting this publicity. But at the end of the day, these little penny-pinching things aren't going to make the deep cuts that are going to be substantial with changing or righting the ship, if you will, when it comes to our civic budgets in both Saskatoon and Regina. Do you have an idea? Do you have an idea of what should be done in Saskatoon or Regina? Keep in mind, tomorrow is when the council in Saskatoon start their budget discussions. We will have Laura Fominoff on first thing in the morning to discuss that. 1-877-332-8255. Phone lines are open, and it is open line. So whatever you would like to chat about, I've got Ari waiting from Saskatoon. I know you always like to talk civic politics. So what's on your mind, Ari?
So Evan, you asked for suggestions. I called it out last week. Gears 1. Remy Art Gallery in Saskatoon gets $6.6 million in operating grants from the city. They're open at 10 o'clock every morning, and they have hours throughout the day. They're closed Monday, Tuesday. If you make a sacrifice, move the Remy hours from 10 to noon, so you cut 2 hours off every day. That's 10 hours a week that we cut down. That's a 25% saving in operating cost. Roll that to $6.6 million. It's a little over $1 million.
Do you think it would extrapolate to that, Ari? Like, I'm just thinking, so you're saving the wages of the staff. You're still going to heat it. You're still going to, like, there's still going to be expenses in those 2 hours, maybe just shaving some. So can we say it's 25%?
Well, it's a 25% reduction. And if you go 25% on $6.6 million at risk of doing quick math on the radio, that's roughly, what, $1.7
million. Okay.
So $700,000 of that stays there. You're saving money. You're saving $1 million. Or, Evan, if we're only saving $500,000, like, I mean, that is a serious chunk of change.
Right.
And we have to look at the tough things. We have to say, okay, we love the gallery. It does a wonderful thing for the city. It's a great prestige piece. But are we seeing a lot of people going between 10 a.m. and noon?
That's probably the question that needs to be asked, and I'm sure they would have those numbers, is, you know, are you open those hours? I mean, this is business 101, right? Why some businesses decide to stay open in the evening and others don't, because they just don't have the customer base.
But will they ask the question? I mean, is the Remy a sacred cow? Like, I don't think people realize how much $6.6 million the city pays as an operating grant to just keep that running.
Mm-hmm. So that would be number one on your list, but I'm assuming you probably have others on your list.
I have lots on the list, but let's, you know, go one at
a
time. Okay,
one step at a time.
It's the gallery.
Okay, sounds good, Ari. Always appreciate you calling in and getting the conversation started. 1-877-332-8255. Where would you start cutting is the question. Sheldon says, you know what, the city's like to use scare tactics. Shut down the conservatory, shut down the pools, reduce services. Every city I lived in does the same thing at budget time. You never hear them say, we'll eliminate catering for meetings. We will reduce redundant positions. So that point right there is one that I've seen come out of Saskatoon a number of texts today, saying if Saskatoon Council is serious about shaving back the cost of the budget, they need to look at staffing. I got a text from Dave. I got a text from Gail. I got a text from Brian. In Saskatoon, each one of them suggesting that. 1-877-332-8255. Gordon in Saskatoon says, Evan, you want to know my cuts? Here you go. Number one, stop spending millions on the bus rapid transit. Not a lot of people use the bus system because it's not safe, and you don't even have to pay if you don't want to. Once they fix those two issues, they can continue with the system. Until then, what a waste of money. And number two, the downtown arena. Parking is going to be a huge issue. We don't need a new arena. It's a want by downtown businesses, not a need. Gordon in Saskatoon, thanks for your text. 1-877-332-8255. Chris in Saskatoon, typical city budget process. Scare everyone with a high number and then feel thankful when it's a few points less, and find something that gets everyone angry. Why not look internally and have a real look at who's getting paid for what, Chris in Saskatoon? So that, I mean, that tends to be a general consensus point. Although I do see Dylan, who calls himself Radicalized Dylan on the text line. And, you know, he likes to provoke conversation. Dylan says, can I point out that people are upset that the floral budget has been cut? Well, it hasn't yet, but that's one of the, they're throwing it out as an option. But Dylan says, can I point out the people are upset the floral budget has been cut, but they were up in arms when asked if they would consider the idea to help fund the homeless. That sums up the problems in Saskatchewan pretty well. Well, Dylan, two different cities, first of all. The homeless levy was a discussion in Saskatoon. The floral conservatory is a Regina issue. But this happens every year. I use the lawn bowling as an example. I mean, talk about, one year they talked about maybe we shouldn't pay, because they pay staff to hang Christmas decorations, right? Every year the city will, in some areas, downtown and along Albert Street in Regina and whatever. So I remember the year where they talked about what's the cost of hanging Christmas decorations. Well, They put a number on the cost, but the cost really, I don't think that's a fair way to look at it, because those employees, if they're not hanging Christmas decorations, it's not like they're not getting paid. They're just doing other work. So, you know, sometimes when you're looking at these, to me, it's a little bit of a slanted view on, again, things that get people maybe focused on the different possibilities. But at the same time, I don't know. I just don't. I used to have this conversation with Chris Holden all the time. Chris was the city manager while I was with the police. And by the way, Chris Holden was such a good city manager. Loved working with Chris. He was close to a 40-year employee of the city of Regina, and he knew what he was doing. He did a great job of running the city. But he said, you know, do we want to live in a city where we're no longer planting flowers and watering flowers on boulevards? It's an easy thing to cut, and maybe it saves you $50,000 out of your budget, but $50,000 out of a $700 million budget's not a lot. And it's one of those pride in city things. So you have to be careful when you talk about that. 1-877-332-8255. What would you like to cut, I guess, is the question. Let's go to Ken in Saskatoon. Saskatoon's council is going to be talking budget this week. Ken, what's on your mind?
Well, we had that big sure at the end of last week about the satisfaction survey in Saskatoon.
Right, yeah.
So I downloaded 166 pages and said, take a look at what they were doing.
Is that how long the survey was?
Yeah, well, the document that I have here, and it says 166. Well, not the survey, but this report.
Okay.
Report. Yep. Anyway, what happens is, it's all garbage. I'm just going to make it very, very, very simple for those people who have not taken statistics, which apparently is city council and most politicians and almost all journalists. All right. If you remember in the days when we all had landlines, you get these phone calls and they would ask you whether you wanted to take a survey, and they'd ask you a question. Some people said yes, some people said no, but you had actually a random chance of getting a phone call. Since we all have cell phones, nobody does that anymore. But that industry didn't want to die. So they decided, well, let's just fake something and make it look good. And cities decided, though, well, we still need consultation, so we'll pretend all this works. So here's the line out of this, okay? They took a look. This is under methodology. This is a representative sample. However, since panelists are recruited from a wide variety of sources, not a true margin of error cannot be calculated. And then the next sentence, they go, for comparison purposes, a probability sample of this many respondents would be this. And then everybody runs with those numbers. This is nothing more than a focus group. Mm-hmm. If you had a focus group, you asked them what it was that you would like to cut or how much you'd like to pay for, you'd never throw numbers on there and you would not give it any kind of weight. But the city of Saskatoon wants these things. I call it a ratchet. Notice they didn't ask you, do you want to pay for these things that we're already paying for, and ask us whether we want to have less of that or pay less of that. It's always, do you want to pay this thing? And there's no comparison. There's no trade-off. Would you like to pay for this instead of that? Mm-hmm. We don't get any of those.
I will say this. I will. Ken, thanks for the call. I appreciate the context. And you know, we talked about that Saskatoon satisfaction survey, which got under 400 people filling it out, 398 or something like that. So, I mean, that's pretty small of a sample size. And knowing that, if I am a person that wants to paint the light standards red, and I say, oh, the survey is asking what color we would like light standards, I could rally 100 of my closest friends and say, please fill out the survey. That's going to skew the results. And you see that happen, sadly, on these surveys. But where I was going to go was, in defense of cities, it's not easy. Consultation's not easy. It takes time and it takes effort. It's doable. To do it the right way, it's doable, but you've got to really I don't think you can just throw a survey out there on an email and expect that it's going to be indicative. It probably is done over many days. It's multiple town halls. It's surveys. It's a whole bunch of things to try and get the true temperature of a city on a variety of number of issues. Okay, let's take our break. We'll come back. Open lines will continue until the bottom of the hour here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.
I look forward to speaking to the president soon, but I don't have a burning issue to speak with the president about right now. When America wants to come back and have the discussions on the trade side, we will have those discussions.
You know, that was an interesting statement that you just heard there. Mark Carney saying he doesn't really have a burning issue to bring up Trump. He said that yesterday at he held a news conference on the sideline there of the G20 summit in South Africa. Obviously, we still don't have a trade deal with the U.S., so there is that. But Carney was kind of playing it coy there, saying, you know what, we got a lot of other things going on. He just met with the basically leaders from India, talking about whether or not he met with Indian President Narendra Modi, talk about essentially what the two companies could do to reset what has become, of course, a very strained relationship. If you think about where we were back when, remember Justin Trudeau stood up in the House of Commons, said there were credible allegations that agents of the Indian government were involved in the assassination of Canadian Sikh leader Hardeep Singh Najjar. And that was 2023. Then the RCMP and the federal government accused Indian diplomats and consular officials based out of Canada in engaging in activities of serious criminal activity. We were booting out diplomats. India, of course, did the same thing. It hasn't really been a great relationship. Our plane broke down. The prime minister was stranded in India with no one to talk to. Anyway, so Mark Carney's trying to rebuild that relationship and saying that he's going to plan to sign a deal that would actually double the amount of trade that we do with India. And there's no doubt that that is a positive step forward for Canada. They're a pretty important trading partner. And we've got 30% tariffs right now from India on yellow pea imports, which we send 480 million of out of our province alone. Canada is, I think I saw the number, 51% of Canada's production of yellow peas comes from our province. So over half comes from our province. India, a big trading partner. So if we can get a deal there, that obviously would be a good thing. Mark Carney working on doing that. As far as trade goes with the U.S., you just heard him saying at his news conference yesterday, I don't know. I don't have anything pressing to talk with Donald Trump about right now, so we'll give it some time. Maybe we'll come up with something here. You know that next year, in the first 6 months or so, when they actually start sitting down to talk about Kuzma, it's going to get ugly. That's going to happen. You could just read that writing on the wall, unless they can get some kind of a deal struck before then, but it's not looking good. I can only imagine where that's going to go. Okay, coming up next, I'm excited to have a conversation, and interested, I should say, to have a conversation with Nicole Burgess, the Saskatoon Home Builders Association CEO. Home Builders Association's in the province not happy with recent decisions made by the provincial government when it comes to the Building Schools Faster Act. They say that's not good for new home builds and home prices. We'll find out why when we come back here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.